We'll call the court session back in order, and we're going to hear from these ladies and gentlemen from Tripod Air Force Base this morning. Y'all got the floor whenever you get there.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time and giving us the opportunity to come out and speak to you. My name is Colonel Greg Keaton. I'm the wing commander for the 80th Flying Training Wing. There's two wings at Shepherd, and ours is responsible for the flying training mission there at Shepherd. We came today to talk to you a little bit about the concerns to include some of the safety of flight issues that we'll discuss with you that actually occur with the windmills themselves. It seems like Clay County, obviously not right up against Shepherd, but there are some impacts that we've determined will affect how we do day-to-day operations. A little bit about my organization. I'm a 13-country member participants of this pilot training program that we've developed. It's been around since the 80s. I train pilots from the United States as well as NATO, so countries like Germany, Italy, a lot of the partner nations that look to us to build their fighter pilots. We graduate about 200 pilots a year, but the base itself actually produces about 60,000 students per year through its gates. I typically wouldn't bring this kind of an issue to you unless I thought it was going to have an impact to our operations. Encroachment has become a serious issue for the United States Air Force, and anytime there's any thoughts of encroachment that impacts our operations, I think it's important to let the citizens of the surrounding area know. And so today I brought with me Lieutenant Colonel Mitch Koch. He's going to give you a couple of slides, if you don't mind. He's got a presentation for you, and he's going to talk to you about those impacts themselves. And then we're more than happy to answer any kind of questions that y'all might have.
Thanks.
Thanks, sir.
So with that, I'll hand it over to Colonel Koch.
Gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak with you. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Mitch Koch, and I'm an instructor pilot at the base, and I'm also here to talk to you about how these wind farms could affect our training mission. So if you turn to the first page, there's an overview of the slide there. You can see a picture of our radar in the top right and our training aircraft in the bottom. This is generally what we're going to talk about. In the big picture, we're going to talk about our primary concern is how the wind farms could affect our radar. And then later on, our secondary concern will be how it could affect our training mission itself or the way we vector our aircraft and overall impact and bottom line. So that, if you'll flip to the next page, titled Radar Line of Sight. So this picture looks over Wichita County and Clay County, and in the center you'll see Wichita Falls in a red dot. To the north of that you'll see something labeled KSPS, and that's Shepherd Air Force Base. Just south of Wichita Falls you see Highway 79 leading up to the northeast, and along that Petrolia and Byers. The big pin next to Petrolia is where the proposed wind farm site is, one of them, and there's a second one that we know of down by Blue Grove in the bottom right of that slide. What you'll see overlaid on top of this is a kind of looks like a blue bug splat, and that's what our radar can see with a 500 foot obstruction, how far out. So you can see it goes beyond 25 miles, and of course a wind farm is going to be about a 500 foot obstruction, but what we're primarily concerned with is anything inside 25 because of the way it impacts our radar, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Some other really important things to note here is you see Highway 79, there's a lot of civilian traffic that travels up and down Highway 79. And it just so happens that you see the white line overlaid just near it that's titled East Radar Pattern. Most of our aircraft coming home from the north and from the east follow that route of travel. And so our radar is really important as our primary means to deconflict that civilian traffic from our military aircraft coming home, both in good weather and in bad. And we'll talk here in the next slide about why that's so important. So what you see on this slide is a picture of a control scope that our controllers use to control aircraft, to deconflict those aircraft and separate both military to military aircraft and military to civilian. The center of that scope would be four small white lines is Shepherd Air Force Base. We do have four runways there. And then extended northeast and southwest, I'm sorry, southeast and northwest is a dashed line that is our 10-mile center line, which is where the aircraft are trying to line up to land. The little blue dots that you see around the screen, some of them with tags next to it with a call sign and an altitude, those are our radar returns. And our controllers look at those blue dots as they move across the scope, and they use them to control aircraft and deconflict them and bring them home and show them, help us figure out, especially in bad weather, how to line up with the final to get ready for the to landing in bad weather. And that's on the control scope slide, which is still there. Of note, our controllers don't just take care of military aircraft. So any civilian aircrafts coming into Wichita Falls Muni, they're responsible for controlling and for their safety of flight. And same for any aircraft coming into Kickapoo Airport. Any life flights coming through the county, or any civilian aircraft traveling back and forth as well, or those pipeline aircraft that are inspecting the pipelines, they keep an eye on all of those and keep everybody separated and safe. This is especially important because when we're coming home, oftentimes, especially FLIT 38, we're coming home at 300 knots, which is more than double, sometimes triple the speed of a lot of our civilian aircraft. Especially when we're in multiple, like a two-ship or a three-ship with multiple aircraft, it can become really difficult to look outside and find a small civilian aircraft moving a lot slower. And so as we come home and we're descending, getting closer and closer to the altitudes those aircraft fly at, this radar becomes critical to giving us point outs and making sure we're safe and giving us leveling off altitudes to keep us above those aircraft. What you can see on the next slide, titled Controlled Scope Interference, is you can see what the picture will look like with what we think the layout will be for the wind farms. Now, they haven't given us exact dimensions, but we know they're roughly going to be about 8 miles wide and about 3 miles deep. In those two locations, you can see all the extra dots. What this really means is those areas become blind zones for our radar controllers. So as our aircraft are flying through, or we have civilian aircraft flying in the vicinity of those wind farms, we're no longer able to keep track of our aircraft and or deconflict aircraft that we may see, whether it's civilian aircraft or military. Now there's other Air Force bases that have had the same challenges, both at Travis Air Force Base in California, and then Naval Air Station Kingsville down in southern Texas had the same problem. And they were unable to get information about these wind farms and get ahead of the curve early enough. And so unfortunately, the wind farms went up and their scopes look very much like this. And they've issued notices to airmen that basically say, if you are traveling in the vicinity of these wind farms, our radar cannot see you. So your deconfliction responsibility is on you now. And or make sure you avoid those wind farms. If you flip to the next page, we'll show you, we'll talk here real briefly about why the radar has trouble with wind farms. As you look at the windmill here, this is a 3 megawatt wind turbine, and the proposed wind farms haven't told us what type of wind turbine they're looking to put in yet. But this is our best estimate based on current technology and the most efficient ones they have out there. It's not quite 500 feet, it's about 460 feet high, but you can see the blades cover an area almost 2 football fields. And a Boeing 747 jumbo jet is significantly smaller than the area covered by those blades. Now the biggest problem those blades cause is that they're turning. What our radar looks like when the radar beams go out and they return back, they're looking for something that moves. So anything that's stationary, like a normal tower, doesn't cause as many problems because it's not moving and the radar just blanks it out. But if there's something moving, it generates a return and it thinks that that's an aircraft. And these blades can turn as fast as our civilian aircraft and our helicopters out there. The problems, too, is that it doesn't just obscure aircraft in front or behind the wind farm, but aircraft above it as well. So anything flying in the vicinity, the radar has a lot of trouble dealing with. And for perspective, you can see a picture of our T-38 down there, and it's significantly smaller than a jumbo jet. So essentially, a Boeing 747 flying near one of these wind farms essentially disappears. And the same will happen for our aircraft and any civilian aircraft that's traveling through. And so ultimately this becomes a safety of flight issue if we can't keep our aircraft separated, especially in bad weather, but in good weather as well. If you flip to the next page titled Vectoring Altitude Changes, you'll see our secondary concern. So the radars are first, and it's what we care about most, but this is some other ways that the wind farms can impact our training. That's a fairly busy slide, so I'll try to walk you through it. At the top, is the bottom line there, that what the wind farms do is they raise our vectoring altitudes, which can impact our training. Now, a vectoring altitude is the lowest altitude that a radar controller can allow an aircraft to descend to keep them safe from any obstruction near the ground or the ground itself. And there's a safety buffer built in there, but as you can see, kind of in the center, there's a small tower titled Highest Current Obstacle. And you can compare that to what will happen there if wind farms get built. That highest obstacle that we have to use to control the aircraft with jumps up almost 700 feet. And this depends slightly on the location and the height. But in general, this is the worst case scenario. We could have a change up to 700 feet. And what that means is our aircraft primarily, well, a good portion of our training is teaching students how to do touch and goes and takeoffs and landings. So we have to operate under the weather to do that, obviously, so we can see the runway and see the other aircraft. So if we're also restricted to flying above the minimum vectoring altitude to keep us safe from any obstacles out there. So if we raise the vectoring altitude because of those obstacles, that's a reduction of area where if the ceilings come out and the clouds start to descend, we potentially are losing training. So to put that in context, in the bottom right is the bottom line there. These new obstructions could result in more restrictive weather minimums for our aircraft, which means we could have many weather days where before we could train and now we can't because of those raised vectoring altitudes. And to help you see what kind of impact that could be, looking back to 2014, there are 74 days where this 700-foot change could have caused us to lose training. And obviously we had a little bit worse weather in 2015, and it could have been up to 144 days if the wind farms had been there. And obviously, when civilian aircraft fly, most of the time they're going to fly under the weather as well. So if there's low ceilings, they're going to be flying lower as well. So now we're putting their aircraft and our aircraft in some of the same places. And if we have the wind farms blanking the radar, those point outs and that deconfliction that happens now may not happen in the future. So again, another reason why we may be putting aircraft at risk. So to sum it all up on the last slide, we have the bottom line. And what it says is wind turbines inside 25 miles have a significant impact on us. It affects our radar, our vectoring altitudes, and it affects the way we design and fly our instrument approaches. Inside 12 miles, it becomes absolutely critical, and it puts our ability to fly and operate the radar at risk. And that's all I have. Are there any questions I can answer?
I know. Anybody?
No. I have a question. So you guys at Shepherd are the only ones in the world that are doing NATO training. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you're... Due to the lack of training, if this impacts due to bad weather or the lower ceiling, is that going to affect the NATO? You guys, you know, maybe losing the NATO in Wichita Falls, the NATO training in Wichita Falls?
So the short answer to that is it kind of depends on the United States Air Force. If the United States Air Force finds that the new restrictions that we may have to place on our aircraft are so restrictive that I cannot train effectively, they could pick up this organization and move it somewhere else. So we would likely lose partners if we did that. So the NATO members that participate now would likely not participate any longer. And that mission of Shepherd may go somewhere else.
And my other question is, so this is really a possibility that people could lose their lives because of the safety factor of not being able to see
private planes. That is our biggest concern.
Private traffic and your guys.
Yes, sir.
T-38s. I know they do a lot of training with fires and patrol
you. Yes, sir. You probably see some T-6s that are out there. That is our biggest concern with this, and quite frankly, one of the major reasons we're bringing this to you is because we see this as a safety of flight issue where somebody could get hurt, whether it's a military member or a civilian member of the community, or we could damage aircraft significantly, and that's something we just can't afford to do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And y'all will know, we don't have any say about whether to build a wind farm or not.
Yes, sir.
Now, whether they do or not, it's between y'all and the FAA, which you know better than I do. But we do appreciate you coming and voicing your concerns, and we understand.
Yes, sir. Thank you for giving us the opportunity, and we understand the limitations as well.
Sure.
We just felt it was our duty to let you know the impacts to the base.
Sure.
And that's essentially what we wanted to do today.
Yep. Appreciate it very much.
Anybody else? Give me your.
I have a formal letter from Altera, our partners and us, that you don't necessarily have to read now. I'll kind of go over it real quick. Basically states that we have not gone in the FAA process yet, and we don't believe the Air Force or us knows enough about how the radar is going to be affected to actually make a definitive decision on which way this needs to go. The FAA process is pretty extensive process, and it goes to the Department of Defense, and they have their say in the process. And so, if 25 miles of the restriction, it basically says there can't be any wind development done in most of Clay County, most of Archer County, all of Wichita County, and some of the counties to the west too. So, if you're against wind progress, then that's probably a good thing for you. But if you're not, it limits development of other sites. The Air Force is not really supposed to fly under 500 feet anyway, and we're below 500 feet. I know there's other restrictions. On top of that, there are specifications to radars that the FAA will work with us and we'll work with Shepard on to minimize the effect if the FAA even gives us approval. If they don't give us approval, then we can't build it anyway. So the process, we request that before the commissioners put an extreme amount of stock in the effect, we want to see what the effect is first. And we will work with the Shepherd to work with that. And if it is an extreme effect and the FAA denies us, or if there's things we can do, put a second radar in or do other things, we will do what we can. And I mean, the bases that you spoke of, I believe, have had different strategies to minimize the effect on aircraft. I don't believe this has to be a one or the other side. I think there can be middle ground here. I mean, maybe there can't, but we'd like to at least get the opportunity to have our partners say our day in court. If we have all the information, we come to the commissioners and we present it. We come to the FAA and we present it, and then we get an answer that way. So, you guys have worked with us on Shannon. And you know who we are, you know what we do, and you know we try to do what we say we're going to do, and we try to live up to our standards we're doing. So we're not trying to pull anything over anyway. We're just trying to bring economic development to our company and to the county and to the local community. And if we do or we don't, that's kind of up to a lot of things that are coming up in the near future. But since we haven't presented to the commissioners yet for our tax abatement and we haven't filed with the FAA, we believe it's too early to make a definitive decision on the subject. And so when we get the information, we will present it to both. But it'll be weeks or a month or two before we get to that point.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'd like to speak from the landowner side,
okay,
especially in Petrolia area. My name's Alan Schaffner. Back, I guess what facilitated putting the wind farm around Petrolia is the power lines. The city of Wichita Falls and Shepherd Air Force Base, back in, Frank, when was that, about 2011, 12, when the power lines came through?
Three years ago.
When the power lines came through, it was Wichita Falls, the city of Wichita Falls and Shepherd Air Force Base who redirected the power lines to come through our area, mm-hmm, because they were already conflicting with y'all. So that's one reason we got the power lines. I was dead set against the power lines, but it was eminent domain. We couldn't stop anything. So with Shepherd redirecting the power lines, they brought it through our area. You know, we're still suffering from the power lines. And granted, if the windmills come in, there's advantages and disadvantages. And but that's the reason the windmills are been proposed in our area south of Petrolia. And back when we was going through that process process with the commission, not the commissioners, what they call that, the three commissioners who worked with Encore and all that, it was said that this is progress. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that we had to accept these power lines, because this was progress. And I'm sure back in the 1900s when the oil boom started, people were just about the same, going back and forth, saying, I don't want it, Well, you know, this is some type of progress. We're going to feed the Metroplex with electricity. We got electricity here. I mean, we got coal power plants, and this helps to have a lessened impact on that. So, I mean, everybody benefits from this. It keeps our electricity rates cheaper, and, you know, it's progress. So that's the landowner side of my side of it. And I know there's 50,000 people opposed, well, maybe not that many, but a large number opposed to it. And it's their right, just like it's my right to be in favor of it. You know, I farm and ranch. I'm trying to squeeze a living for my family out of this farm and ranch. I've got two oil wells. It makes two barrels a day. That's all. You know, so I'm not out there having a whole bunch of oil production. And I get, I mean, you know how the oil's done right now. But this is a way to help pay for my family, support my family, farm and ranch. And, I mean, that's how we done it, from the farm. Production, cattle production, wheat production, and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's one reason I'm in favor of it.
Yeah. John?
I didn't know this was going to turn into a more of an open forum on this, but just...
It's really not supposed
to be. And I apologize, but since you opened it to the horns, I thought this was just going to be a presentation here, but I'd just like to make a comment, is that aside from, and I'm a landowner, aside from the landowner's displeasure with the aesthetics of a wind farm, displeasure with the noise, displeasure with how it changes their life, what I heard in this presentation today is within 25 miles of Sheridan Air Force Base, a wind farm will, factually borne out by that presentation, put life, American servicemen, airmen lives into danger, civilian lives into danger, and equipment into danger. And for any organization, public or private, to go ahead with something with that knowledge at hand is unconscionable and reprehensible. And I just want that on the record here, because I don't see how anybody could proceed with that, even under the auspices of saying, maybe we can move around, maybe we can do something else. If you're within that 25-mile radius, you're absolutely putting American airmen and other airmen, because you've got 13 nations that have a mission here, at risk. I'm sure Wichita Falls, at some point, will weigh in on this, because I looked at the handout that they had. Puts almost $1 billion of economic interest into the surrounding area, what Shepherd does. And I can tell you for a fact, in this day and age, when our Congress is starting to cut back in a lot of different areas, when you've got the one NATO training base here, which puts $1 billion into a community a year, if they start seeing that their mission is being eroded and minimized, then I will guarantee you they're gonna find somewhere else to do it. And that would be a hard thing to swallow if Clay County was the impetus for that to happen. So I just want to weigh in on that.
Yeah. Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
I don't disagree that there is an effect on the Air Force. All we're saying is, before you speculate what the degree of effect is and say that it's going to kill pilots and do all these other things, there's wind farms all over the U.S. There's wind farms within 6 miles or 8 miles of Abilene, of several Air Force bases. It's speculation right now because they don't have the correct data and they don't have gone through the proper process with the FAA. So when you just speculate that, I mean, just saying driving a car, people die. So if you drive a car, you're going to die. That's kind of what he's saying, that you're speculating that it's going to happen. We need to do the proper process before we actually condemn anything. And just because you're against it, I mean, you can get on your soapbox and say everything is, the world's falling apart anytime you want on anything. So I just say give due process before you condemn it.
I'd just like to follow up on that. Actually, that's factually incorrect. The mission at Dyess Air Force Base is a markedly different mission than what you've got at Shepherd because of the type of aircraft and the number of sorties that are flown each day. I'm a layman. These guys can bear this out. If I'm speaking factually, you please correct me. The number of sorties these guys fly every day swamps what you've got at Dyess Air Force Base. The aircraft used at Dyess versus the aircraft used here, different approaches, different vectors. You've got a different situation down there. So to compare, you've got a wind farm within 6 miles of Dyess in a wind farm within 25 miles here is a totally infactual comparison on what he's doing on this stuff. And I would encourage these guys, if they would like to bear that out, please do. You use DICE as a reference.
I use the U.S. as a reference, not DICE. Or and DICE.
I was just curious, we talk about radar in all these in this area. Is there been updates to radar that would protect, even though it's in within that 25 mile? Did you kind of imply a while ago that there may be some radar changes that could be done?
From our FAA consultant, there are some radar upgrades to radars that can minimize the effect. And there you can use two radar. I mean, I'm not a radar tech, so I can't speak to that. But from what I understand, we haven't gone through the process yet because this has just kind of been thrown at us a week ago. So we haven't had time to actually go through the process, and that's all we're requesting is let everyone go through the process and not just speculate ahead of time. That's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay.
And that's all we're asking.
Anybody else? I make one statement, folks. I hope nobody's made up their mind yet what we're going to do because we haven't had a proposal yet. And I do resent all of the hoopla over our election that this is about is wind farms. And there's a lot more to it than that. But I do appreciate all of you coming today and glad to hear everybody's side of it. And we're adjourned.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you. Thanks again for letting us come. Nice to meet you. Absolutely. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Absolutely. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Jimmy's brother. I wasn't on your call the other day.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.